This is Living the RV Dream with Traveling Robert, episode 10 for May 26, 2017.
I'm riding with my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Well, hello, happy campers, happy dreamers, full-timers, part-timers, and weekend warriors like myself. I am Robert Morales, your host, and this is episode 10. What a milestone. So the show notes will reside at my blog, travelingrobert.com/podcast/0010. And as you can probably tell, I am a little under the weather today, so I apologize for that. Last weekend, we went boating in Biscayne Bay, and maybe that had something to do with it. The water in Biscayne Bay is still not its normal summer warm, you know, in the high 80 degrees. So it was a little, it wasn't cold by any means, but when it's really hot outside and you go into the water and then you never know. Maybe that's why I'm blaming these little sniffles that I have. And my voice is a little, you know, rough and under the weather. By the way, can you believe May is nearly over? And you know what that means? That means that summer is right around the corner. A peak camping season. So I'd like to know what you guys and girls are doing this camping season. What good campgrounds or boondocking spots or off-the-beaten-path destinations you all have in mind. I really haven't planned anything yet, except at some point I want to do the Dry Tortugas, you know, from Key West. And but if you want to share all that with us, the email, you know it, robert@travelingrobert.com, or just click on the Send Voicemail button at the website, which, again, the address is travelingrobert.com. By the way, if you are in the UK or somewhere outside the United States, you know, we spell traveling different. You guys spell it with two L's, and we spell it with one L. So especially if you are going to send the email, send it with just one L, travelingrobert.com, because otherwise I won't get it. If you are the website, if you spell Traveling Robert with two L's, it will redirect to the one with one L. What can I say? At some point, Merriam-Webster decided to change the spelling of certain words in the United States to differentiate our English from the rest of the world. Who knows why they did that, but we spell theater different, and many words that have two L's in the UK, we spell it with one L. Anyways, I digress. I go on this kind of tangents. I find the language fascinating, especially coming from a different language. You know, I didn't grow up speaking English, as you can probably tell by my accent. Well, speaking about voicemails, we have one of those today, so let's listen.
Hello, Robert. Greetings from Brian and Christy in northeastern South Dakota, the opposite corner from Mount Rushmore. We love the Black Hills, but our farm is located in the Glacier Lakes region of the state. It is a summertime RVer's heaven where you could boondock anytime. We truly enjoy your YouTube channel and the new podcast that I've been listening to while planting in the field. I am also an amateur radio operator. My call sign is KC0MYX. It's a great hobby, and it provides security when we are on the road in our RV, because I always have reliable communication. This is how we say goodbye on Ham Radio 73, Robert.
Well, Brian and Christy, thank you so much for that voicemail. South Dakota, one of those blank states in my map. Actually, more than half of the map is still empty, and I want to go to so many places. As John Huggins told me once when we met up at the Tampa show, he said that we have to get out of Florida, because to a certain point, really, it's paradise, but in the long run, Florida is all the same. There's so much to see in the country, in the north, and also west of the Mississippi is one of my favorite areas. But yeah, I do want to visit South Dakota at some point. Actually, Last year, I almost did pass through South Dakota because at some point early last year, I got this crazy idea to leave my job and go to the sugar beet harvest, which is in North Dakota, and then join the Amazon camper force in Campbellsville, Kentucky. And then I realized that the amount of money you make doing those things is adequate. It's actually pretty good if you live a relatively frugal life, you know, full timing, but not if I was going to go back to Miami. So I scratched that idea for now. I plan to do those things, the beet harvest and Amazon, at some point in the future. But when the conditions are right, when we are already a full-timing, you know, nomads roaming around the country, and then I'll get to document my experiences here in the podcast and obviously also in my YouTube channel. But yes, South Dakota is definitely on the bucket list, not only Mount Rushmore and the Black Hills area. I know the Huggins love that area of the country. And I know the whole state has a lot more to offer, and I look forward to spending time there, definitely. And maybe even establish residency when we start full-timing. I understand South Dakota is one of the friendliest states to full-timers. You know, they have these companies that allow you to establish residency there, and they even register your vehicle and all that stuff. I have to do more research about that when the time comes. So, Brian and Christy, thank you so much for your message, and 73 to you. By the way, ham radio is something that I'm contemplating also in the future for myself. I also got an email from Rebecca in Texas, and she writes, "Hello, Robert. My husband and I just recently subscribed, and we started watching your vlogs this year. Thank you for the trip ideas and letting us all join in your on your adventures. I will be retiring in a couple of years, and we are thinking about maybe getting a camper and exploring the country. I do have severe arthritis in my knees, and I was wondering if you or your viewers have tips for people who take long road trips and have handicaps like arthritis in the legs. If I sit for long periods of time, my legs start hurting. I do take medications, but maybe some travelers have tips for these kinds of handicaps or home remedies to help. Maybe in a future podcast, you can discuss what options people have with handicaps and traveling by the road. Thanks again." This is the best part about having a growing community of like-minded people here at Living the RV Dream and on YouTube, youtube.com/travelingrobert. If anybody has any advice for Rebecca, your feedback is much appreciated. You can come on the show or send me an email or a message, whichever way you want to contribute. I want to make this, actually the podcast and everything, a two-way street, not just me yapping away about some destination or RV topic. I want you guys to participate. And yeah, I don't suffer from arthritis, and sometimes after a couple of hours driving, I also feel some discomfort. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you guys about this topic. Talking about me yapping away about some destination, last week I kind of left you hanging as we were arriving in San Francisco as part of our California road trip. And even though San Francisco is not necessarily RV friendly, I think it's one of the must visit cities in this great country of ours. You know, you have to, at some point you have to visit New York, Chicago, New Orleans, to some extent, obviously Los Angeles, and I'm Miami, I guess, because that's where I live. But there are so many cities, and San Francisco is iconic. It's like, has that city has a unique character because it sits on the bay, and there are hills all around the bay, like this peninsula, and it's unique. It's unique in its architecture and the steep streets, you know, going up and down. It's a very hilly city, if you know what I mean. And there's a lot of history here too, of course. As I said, the city is not RV friendly at all, mainly because of the very steep hills. You don't want to take a big rig on those hills. And there are also many city ordinances that prohibit parking even during the day. That being said, where to begin? So many things to do in San Francisco. Its unique character, as I said, architecture and the natural setting. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. The first thing we did when we went there was drive to one of the highest points in the city, you know, to get our lay of the land. It is called Twin Peaks. Just look it up on Google Maps. And there's a little bit of a windy road up there, but you can take your tow vehicle. It's fine. And there we had a bird's eye view of the whole city. The two main bridges you could see, one to the right, one to the left, the Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate, of course, which is iconic in its red color. It's like one of the most photographed bridges in the world, I think. There's the Russian Hill, which is this steep hill in the middle of the city with all this building. And there's the Coit Tower, which is another iconic structure in the city, downtown Market Street. You can see Market Street coming towards you, and then the Castro District, which is one of the main historic gay districts in the country. And we will visit all these places, but we went to another one of the highest places in the city. These are like my two favorite bird's eye view of San Francisco. I've been there a couple of times. And the other place, you have to go across the Golden Gate Bridge to the other side of the bay. And then they take a two-lane road that goes to the left of the road. And from the top, you can see that iconic, you can take that iconic picture of San Francisco with the bridge in the foreground. Very beautiful. Hopefully you won't get any fog. Actually, if you get a little bit of fog, it makes for an even more interesting picture. Just not enough to cover the bridge and your view. We were there right at sunset, and it was an amazing, amazing time. Other things to do there, of course, is Alcatraz. Save half a day at least for that. It is a fascinating tour, a must do, not only because of the prison, but it is a nice boat ride too, and they tell you the history of the prison. Even after, you have to reserve a few weeks in advance because it always sells out. You might get lucky, but I do recommend that you reserve that tour. It's very, very nice. Do go to Fisherman's Wharf, of course. That's right next to where, not next to, but a couple of blocks from where the boat to Alcatraz leaves, and they have some seafood there if you're interested in seafood. You can also eat at Chinatown. Chinatown is a very good place to go for lunch or dinner. House of Nanking stands out as a great restaurant. We went there and it was fantastic. We ordered way too much food, so keep that in mind. The portions are meant to be shared, and we didn't know that. Go to the top of the Coit Tower that I mentioned before. It's on Telegraph Hill. You can drive up there, or you can also take some stairs. The stairs are quite long, quite high. It's quite a large number of steps. So if you're not in great shape, I recommend that you drive up there. And also take the elevator to the top. From the top, you get these 360-degree views of the city that are magnificent. And you get a little bit of the history of the Coit Tower, which was a telegraph tower at some point. Also, you cannot leave San Francisco without doing a ride on the cable car. You must do that. It's so much fun, and it's probably one of the last unsafe modes of transportation left. I'm sure someday someone is going to fall off the cable car, and they're going to shut it down or put seatbelts or something. So it is something you must do in the city. There are two lines, the Mason line and the Powell line. I like the Powell line better because it goes up to the Russian Hill, which is one of the steepest hills in the city. And you get beautiful views of Alcatraz Island as you are going down the hill. But also, at the top of the hill, there's Lombard Street. So you may want to get off at Lombard. And it's the curviest, or more sinuous, I think they call it. It's a street that zigzags like a sinus wave going down the hill. And when you see it, it's iconic. It's one of those symbols of San Francisco, almost. Very cool. Of course, you must go to Golden Gate Park, which is a huge park. I believe it is larger than Central Park in New York. And don't quote me on that, but that's what I've heard. I think that's what I read. And also, another park that you must go is Alamo Square. You know, you've seen that picture with the little cute houses in the front and then downtown in the background. That's where you take that picture from. And of course, you remember that movie from the 90s called Pacific Heights? Well, it's a good movie. It's a good thriller, but nothing to do. Pacific Heights is like this luxurious neighborhood. So if you want to take a stroll around Pacific Heights, I do recommend it. These huge mansions with these great views of the bay and the Presidio. I think it's a good place to walk around. And these are just a few highlights of things we have done in the city. There's so much to do. As always with any city, just get lost. Walk in the streets. Be careful in some areas because there's a lot of homeless people around Market Street. There are some areas that you may want to avoid. You know, just use common sense. If it looks sketchy, it's probably because it is a sketchy neighborhood. I also want to point out that this area is not just San Francisco. There are many day trips you can make from the city. And there are two areas that I would fully recommend that you can take a one-day trip to. One of them is the wine country, you know, Sonoma and the Napa Valley. And the other one, if you are a geek like me, you should pay a visit to Silicon Valley. Wine country is about a 1 hour drive to the north, and it's very nice. You do have to make some planning and do have a designated driver because if you are into wine, you're gonna wanna taste wine. And a few wineries come to mind that were excellent. The Hess Collection is a beautiful property. You have a Sterling Vineyards, which is on top of a hill. So you take a funicular. Is it a funicular or a cable car? It's a gondola on the cable that you take to the top of the hill, and they have, they give you a tour. They show you how they make the wines, and from the top of the hill you have beautiful views of Napa Valley. I'm also into bubblies, so there's Chandon, which they make champagne style wines. You know you cannot call it champagne unless it is made in Champagne, France. But these Chandon are the same people, the same family of Moët Chandon, of Champagne. So they make excellent Brut, sparkling wines. Very good. And there's a bunch of other places you can go to, Mondavi or Stag's Leap, the more famous ones. And just plan your way to go to one or two or three places and do have a designated driver because by the fourth winery, you're going to be pretty hammered. I can guarantee you that. And they have, a lot of the wineries have markets with fine cheese and very cool. Also, in the town of Napa, there's a couple of bars that offer tastings. There's also a wine train that you can take, like a tour, and they take you back and forth and they take you to a couple of places. And there's a bunch of very, very nice restaurants in the area as well. It's a good day trip. And it is about an hour, a little over an hour drive, depending on traffic. Sometimes there's only three bridges out of San Francisco, I think. So it could get, at rush hour, it could get pretty hairy down there. Also, the other day trip that I was talking about is Silicon Valley. And if you are a geek, you want to pass by the Hewlett and Packard garage, where it all started. Or if you are into Apple, you can go to the garage where, Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs assembled the first Apple computer. We actually also passed by Google, by the Googleplex or Google Campus, and actually they kicked us out because I was roaming around the campus with the video camera, and they kicked us out. They said, this is not a tourist attraction. This is a private campus. So there's that. But the must-see place in Silicon Valley, the gem that, especially if you are both a geek, a technology geek, and a history buff, is the Computer History Museum. This place is amazing. I mean, they begin, with an abacus, which arguably is the first computer, and then they go through the history. They have the first Apples and the original IBM PC and the Ataris and all that. Even robots. I don't know if you remember that robot that about 20 years ago that was like a dog, and I forgot about it. There was also this other one that it was like a dinosaur called Pleo. They have all that stuff, all those technologies from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, even before, you know, the 60s. They have an original video game, like the original Pong. It's an amazing place. And they have actually, what tops it all off is they have the... what's it called? The Babbage Difference Engine, which was this mechanical computer. This guy in Great Britain, Babbage, his last name, he designed this computer to calculate, to make calculations. And by the way, this was in the mid-1800s, way before we had the transistors or anything like that. This was completely mechanical. And they could never build it. He could never get the funds to build it. But he left all his blueprints. And it was in the 2000s that they finally got to build it. And the thing worked. And they have it there. And they demonstrate it every hour or so. They have a demonstration. And then it's something, to me at least, it is a fascinating experience to get to see all that. Well, we are almost running out of time. My friend on YouTube, Red Jaguar, said that 26 minutes was probably too short, and I agree. I would love to keep talking to you guys and having longer interviews. I'm working on interviews. At some point, I'm going to have some. And eventually, I intend to expand the show to 1 hour. Which would be 54 minutes for WRVO radio, by the way. Eventually, I might do an extended version for Patreon. But for now, as long as I still have my day job and I'm doing almost weekly videos, I'm going to keep it pithy, you know, the 26 minutes that it is right now. By the way, talking about WRVO radio, which they syndicate the show for us, here's a word from them.
Download the free Reno Viola Outdoors Radio app and listen to the great outdoors.
Yes, we are now part of the Reno Viola Outdoors Radio Network. 24/7, 365, you can hear us multiple times each week, and mainly on Thursdays, by the way, our show. Simply go to wrvoradio.com or renoviolaoutdoors.com and see the schedule and see when our show plays. And now I think I'm going to leave you with the song of the week. And I'm going to have some lemon and ginger tea or some warm water and lemon or something to get rid of this cold. Maybe some echinacea. Anyways, the song of the week is a song that I wrote for San Francisco. And it has one peculiarity. I called it the San Francisco Suite because it was the first song that I actually wrote with the video in mind, like if it was a movie, you know, I edited the whole video and then I put music to it, more or less, you know, to the exact time. So the song begins a little bit of a jazzy, it's not a song, it's a tune. I keep calling them songs. What do you call when it is an instrumental? It's just a tune, right? I called it the San Francisco Suite. It's a little bit of a long one, so I might shorten it for the podcast. It begins with this jazzy beginning with, at the time, it's kind of, well, to me at least, it was kind of reminiscent of that standard, you know, the song I Lost My Heart in San Francisco, although in hindsight it doesn't really sound like it so much. And then there's this other part, which is kind of a funny part as we are driving down the steep hills. Then there's this slower part of the song, and it is as we are at the place that I told you about, Hawk Hill, where you overlook San Francisco on the other side of the bay and the Golden Gate Bridge in front of us. And then I kind of stop the song as we witness a beautiful sunset, by the way, with a lighthouse next to it. Very, very nice. And then we finish at Sausalito, overlooking San Francisco across the bay. By the way, San Sausalito, another must-see place. Some people actually bike to Sausalito, you know, across the Golden Gate Bridge. It's a thing. I didn't have any music at the part where we visited Alcatraz Island. But as we were, as we reached the top of the Coit Tower, I did do a 360-degree panorama with the camera. I took like 8 different pictures around and stitched them. And I actually, on the video, I edited it and spinning the camera around rather quickly. And this was the music that I put to it. And as we descended from the Coit Tower, we went to Chinatown. And then I created this other part of the music for Chinatown, which I tried to give it this oriental flute sound, kind of, you know, make it sound a little bit oriental, the music. And then at the end, I did just this electronic dance music beat for our joyride on the cable car. Anyways, we are out of time. I hope that you guys tune in next week for another edition of Living the RV Dream with me, Traveling Robert. Robert Morales, your host, Traveling Robert, everywhere on the interwebs, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Until the next time, thank you so much for listening and see you on the road.